NTSB studies more cases abroad than at home. A mystery command keeps the Glory mission grounded. And the FAA certifies Embraer's Legacy 650. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 28, 2011. U.S. National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Deborah Herzman addressed the American Bar Association's Forum on Air and Space Law 2011 update conference last week. And while her talk was prepared for lawyers, it answered a couple of questions you might have about how the NTSB works. Herzman told the audience that during her tenure so far, a number of code-sharing investigations have been conducted. She says these arrangements among airlines, some of which cross national lines, often raise the standards for both sides, but on some occasions treat the FAA requirements as a ceiling, not a floor. Regarding all those stories in which you read about the NTSB sending its investigators to assist other nations after accidents, she said that foreign cases now account for 75% of the investigations, and that of the board's seven investigators in charge, one is pretty much full-time in Africa now. So how does that make sense under current federal budget tensions? Quote, in these foreign investigations, the U.S. stakeholders, the NTSB, as well as the FAA and the manufacturer and or operator of the aircraft, are in a position to see firsthand potential airworthiness issues with U.S. products. This in turn provides us at the safety board with the information we need to make recommendations to address safety deficiencies, bringing these lessons learned home to improve the safety of our domestic fleet, unquote. She added, the benefits are reciprocal. In the Miracle on the Hudson and the Continental Connections 3407 cases, both of which involved aircraft built outside the U.S., quote, the NTSB's investigation benefited greatly from our Canadian and French counterparts' support in our understanding of the performance of the aircraft during the accident, unquote. NASA's Glory mission, which involves a spacecraft designed to measure the effect of aerosol particles and the sun on Earth's atmosphere, was supposed to have launched last Wednesday from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. But NASA's launch director, Omar Baez, reports that 15 minutes before the launch, the Taurus rocket showed receipt of a hold fire command, which nobody sent. The mission is on hold now till troubleshooting finds the issue and another launch window can be cleared. Project manager Brian Foffel reports the spacecraft's battery is on a slow charge until then. Embraer reports the FAA has certified its Legacy 650 large executive jet, following previous certifications from Brazil and Europe. The Legacy 650 is an extended-range derivative of the successful Legacy 600, which has logged almost 200 deliveries worldwide. Embraer says the new jet has achieved all its performance targets, particularly the maximum range of 3,900 nautical miles with four passengers without compromising either payload capacity or operational costs. Deliveries of the Legacy 650 began in November, with seven already in operation. Cayman says its unmanned K-MAX helicopter recently made aviation history by successfully completing multiple guided airdrops using slings at 10,000 feet above sea level. In four separate flights conducted January 24th and 25th at the Army's Yuma Proving Ground in Arizona, K-MAX successfully airdropped 16 payloads, including medical equipment, food, simulated leaflets, and bulk cargo. Cayman and its partner Lockheed Martin are developing K-MAX to meet a U.S. Marine Corps requirement for cargo unmanned aircraft systems. Lockheed Martin has designed the helicopter's mission management and control systems to provide the K-MAX with flight autonomy in remote environments and over long distances. Up next on ANN, airports tout their shovel readiness. The FAA fines a shipper for sending a toxic chemical via UPS. And a Taiwanese court has issued a fine in a copyright infringement case. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 28th. I'm Paul Plack. ACINA, Airports Council International North America, has released the detailed results of its 2011 Capital Needs Survey. The report provides information on all airport projects over the next 5 years, not just those eligible for Airport Improvement Program grants, as is the case with the FAA's National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems report. The ACINA study indicates that airports, commercial and GA, have $80.1 billion in total projects that are considered essential by the airports and their users. ACINA President Greg Principato commented, quote, "The 2011 Capital Needs Survey shows that airports must continue to improve airport infrastructure to ensure the safety and security of the traveling public. These projects, financed by the self-funded, job-creating Airport Improvement Program, as well as passenger facility charge user fees, allow communities to use local resources to fund local projects generating local jobs. These projects also help reduce passenger delays and facilitate price and service competition for passengers across the United States." Unquote. Based on DOT estimates of the effect of spending on airport projects, ACINA extrapolates that $80.1 billion in airport capital could help add 2 to 3 million jobs to the U.S. economy. The first of three EMB-145 airborne early warning and control platforms was unveiled last week to representatives of the Indian government at a ceremony held at Embraer headquarters in São José dos Campos, Brazil. Based on the proven Embraer ERJ-145 regional jet, the aircraft features an in-flight refueling system, SATCOM capability, a significant increase in electrical and cooling capacities, and aerodynamic and structural changes to allow installation of advanced electronic systems. Following its official presentation, the aircraft will start intensive ground and flight tests. The ferry flight to India is scheduled for the second half of this year, after which it will receive the specialized electronics. The FAA is proposing a civil penalty of $227,500 against Dover Chemical Corporation of Dover, Ohio, for alleged violations of federal hazardous materials regulations. The FAA charges that Dover offered sulfur monochloride, a hazardous material, to United Parcel Service for transportation by air from Hammond, Indiana, to Dover on June 15th of last year. The hazardous materials regulations prohibit carriage of sulfur monochloride aboard any type of aircraft. The chemical's vapors are poisonous if inhaled. Dover Chemical allegedly offered the material when it was not packaged, marked, classed, described, labeled, or in condition for shipment as required by regulations. UPS workers at the sorting hub in Louisville discovered the shipment because it had leaked. Dover Chemical has 30 days to respond. The Taichung District Court of Taiwan has provided a written decision which finds TFI, Taiwan Filin Industrial Company Limited, guilty of intellectual property infringement involving copyrighted works belonging to aviation cargo equipment companies AmSafe and Nordisk Aviation Products. The conviction stemmed from TFI's deliberate copying of certain technical documentation relating to products of both companies. TFI received a fine which was close to the maximum penalty permissible under the Taiwan Copyright Act. Terrence Lyons, CEO of AmSafe Global Holdings, commented, quote, "We believe in aggressively pursuing those who have misappropriated our intellectual property. In this matter, we are satisfied with the decision of the district court." Unquote. Still ahead, Southwest moves two steps closer to an acquisition of AirTran. Congress isn't done bringing politics into the KCX tanker deal. And for once, the Machinists Union is happy for Boeing. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
Two twenty.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 28th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has informed Southwest Airlines, based in Dallas, that it has accepted the carrier's transition plan to combine operations with AirTran Airways, based in Orlando, following the financial close of the transaction, which is expected this spring. On September 27th, Southwest announced an agreement to acquire all outstanding shares of common stock of AirTran Holdings for a combination of cash and Southwest common stock. Closing is subject to the approval of AirTran shareholders, receipt of certain regulatory clearances, and fulfillment of customary closing conditions. Southwest says it hopes to be issued a single operating certificate in the first quarter of 2012. The airline adds that SWAPA, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association, has approved a workforce integration plan for the acquisition. The framework reportedly allows an orderly transition from separate carriers to a single operating certificate. Chuck McGill, Southwest Airlines VP of Flight Ops, says the unanimous approval by the SWAPA board is an important step. Quote, "Our hardworking pilots are now poised to begin the important and challenging work of integrating their AirTran colleagues into Southwest Airlines," unquote. If anyone thought last week's announcement that Boeing will build the KC-46A ended the years-long dispute with Eads, think again. Eads hinted last week that it will press the U.S. Air Force and the Pentagon for detail on how its bid fell short. Now, in a joint statement, leaders of the House Armed Services Committee and the panel's Sea Power and Projection Forces Subcommittee warn, quote, "Moving forward, the committee will continue the necessary oversight to ensure the evaluation was transparent and fair to each competitor. We look forward to receiving more information from the Air Force as we review their decision-making processes. The Sea Power and Projection Forces Subcommittee will hold a hearing on this issue as soon as enough information is publicly available," unquote. Air Force officials said last week they stand by their process and their decision and are prepared to defend it. And finally today, as a matter of treaty with our allies, the KCX decision last week was not supposed to be based on whether the jobs would land in the U.S. or Europe, but congressmen and senators certainly treated that as a valid, if not primary, point of argument. Now, Tom Buffenbarger, president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, is praising the contract's role in denying a foreign manufacturer a chance to better compete with Boeing. Quote, "The Pentagon's decision will result in an American aircraft built by American workers for America's warriors. With more than 40,000 U.S. jobs at stake, this decision also significantly strengthens the core of the U.S. aerospace manufacturing industry. The importance of this decision cannot be overstated. Our legacy as providers of the best-built military aircraft in the world was on the line, challenged by a foreign competitor who hoped to establish a high-tech beachhead in this country that could have permanently altered our ability to provide for our own defense," unquote. Is it me, or is beachhead an interesting metaphor to choose here? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses the case of a pilot whose high-tech oxygen regulator may have cost him his life. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.